Hi. Does it work? Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Andrea Pogliaghi, and I'm presenting today a European Union-founded project called PULSE that is about health problems in cities. Before I start, just a couple of information about my company. I work for Genegis GI, that is an Italian company that has been working in the geospatial sector for more than 20 years. We work with public companies and private customers. We work with both open source and proprietary solution, and we have an extensive experience in projects abroad. So what is PULSE? Well, PULSE is an acronym that stands for Participatory Urban Living for Sustainable Environments, and it is an European Horizon 2020 project. And well, looking at the terms composing the acronym, you can guess what the project is about. It is health and in cities with participatory approach. There are 12 partners involved. We are one of those. We are a private company, but in the consortium there are university research institutes and public agencies. The project is implemented in Europe, North America, and Asia. The objective of PULSE is, in general, that of building an extensible set of tools, technologies, tools and models to be able to manage some kind of public health problems in cities. And it employs a participatory citizen approach, meaning that the citizen themselves can collect data and send data to the system. This data is related to their health status, their position, their movements, information about their well-being, and so on. And they receive information from the public health agencies. There are a lot of data that are involved in the project, data coming from the citizen, data coming from data sources of the cities, and also from sensors, satellites, and monitoring stations. From the clinical point of view, the project concentrates on two aspects that are the asthma and the relationship of asthma with the atmospheric pollution, and the type 2 diabetes and its relationship with the physical activity. The project is being experimented in five cities that are Barcelona, Paris, Birmingham, New York, Singapore, and recently also Pavia in Italy and Keelung in Taiwan joined the pilots. Okay, well, the project is big, but we can divide the components in those four pieces that are. One is an app, a mobile app called PULSE Air, that is being developed by the University of Madrid, and the app is responsible of collecting the data from the citizen through GPS questionnaires and the movements of the user. And the app provides to the user information about their health risk, the output of the clinical models, and so on. And it tries to, let's say, induce change behavior in the citizen based on some gaming logic and contexts and so on. The data is acquired also from the app and also from wearable sensors, Fitbit data, that send to the system information about some biometric parameters. Another component of the system is the most scientific part, that is that of models. So there are clinical models to provide an estimate of asthma and type 2 diabetes onset, and some models related to air quality. and to the personal exposure of the citizen. The personal exposure is, in some way, the estimation of the, let's say, pollutant that the user, that the citizen is exposed to during his daily life. Another part of the system is related to the visualization of the data. So there is a WebGIS, and there is a dashboard that provides analytics and monitoring functionalities to the system. This is the system general architecture that shows the components as I just said. So basically the monitoring and analytics dashboard, the app, the backend services with the Pulse models, and the WebGIS that provides visualization but also provide services to the different components that are related with geodata. Regarding the Pulsar app, as I said, it collects data coming from GPS questionnaires that the user is prompted to fill in about their behavior, lifestyle, health status, and the data coming from Fitbit. The app provides estimation on the health risk of the citizen, and as I said before, it tries to promote habits to improve health, well-being, and good behavior, let's say. These are some screenshots of the app. Just some examples. You can see there are maps showing the air quality, information about the air quality index, tips that the user is given, the questionnaires that is prompt to fill in, and so on. Regarding the models, as I said, there are clinical models that estimate the onset of asthma and type 2 diabetes that are being developed by University of Padova. I will not say anything about that. And there are models for the air quality estimation and the calculation of personal exposure. I will concentrate on the personal exposure, and I will just say that for the air quality models, the data that are used are coming from both monitoring stations and satellite data. There is also a part of the project that is related to the heat island effect that you have in cities. So the fact that in summer, especially, some parts of the city gets warmer than other than the surrounding areas. And some of the pilot cities were interested in having some procedure to, in some way, calculate those urban heat islands automatically. So I will go very fast with these two slides. This is an example of some air quality maps that are derived from MODIS satellite data. This is work done by University of Pavia. And some information about a procedure for the land surface temperature to assess the urban heat island effect. Yes, I would like to concentrate on the personal exposure and on the experimentation that has been done in the project to create a dense air quality monitoring network. Because the data, the monitoring station available in some cities were very few, so they didn't provide the information that were needed for the project, meaning that they were very few. This slide, for example, shows the situation in Pavia, where you can see the red dots showing the official Environmental Protection Agency of Pavia. That basically, there are just only two monitoring stations. So there were other low-cost sensors that were deployed in the test pilot in order to densify this network. And the result is the entire image. So you have also the green and yellow dots. So in this way, we could have more data with higher frequency and also a denser, there are many more, so it's denser. And this allows to, well, to have more data and also to be able to perform some personal exposure estimation. The personal exposure, as I mentioned before, is a way to measure, to estimate the amount of pollution or pollutant that an individual is exposed to. And the fact that the network is dense allows to have data that can be used to model this. The frequency of the measurements are quite high, and those sensors are affordable because they are cheap. It's like around 200 euro each. So the way this model works basically is like that. The information about one parameter are collected. Those are averaged each hour, and those are interpolated. So you have one surface as the one on the upper right corner. This interpolation is made every hour. So at the end, you have a set of surfaces, like in that image. So taking the information about the movements of the user, those could be classified in three classes, for example. And according to some information found in the literature, it's possible to calculate or estimate the amount of pollutant, in this case, in this example, a PM10 that this user in some way inhaled during his daily pattern. He left home, he went to work, then he went to lunch, then he went to a meeting, came back home, and then he ran, and he inhaled around 24 micrograms of PM10. This is a work in progress model, and also this is being developed by University of Pavia. Regarding the WebGIS module, well, it is a part of the system that allows to show the data. And also to it provides geospatial services to the other components of the project. There was one WebGIS that was defined for each pilot cities, and the data inside the WebGIS are, well, satellite data, data from the monitoring stations, but also data coming from different sources like urban data, urban subdivision, public health data, data coming from hospitals, and so on. The WebGIS has some different functionalities. Some of them are, basic and standard that you normally find in traditional in the WebGIS, but also some other functionalities that are specific, more advanced, specific for Pulse. Among the basic functionalities, you have the table of content, the scale, base map selector, the legend, the possibility to query the feature, see the attribute table, plot charts on the value of some attributes of the attribute table, and so on, print, measure, and so on. The interesting feature for Pulse are the fact that it's possible to navigate the data in time. So it's possible to load a time series of data, and with a time manager, a widget, it's possible to see how a phenomena is changing in time. And it's also possible to compare, to have two sides, one beside the other, in order to see maybe two different phenomena in the same area, or the same phenomena at different times. So this is useful to visually correlate the data. In this case, for example, you can see that there is some. One can guess that there is some correlation between the asthma hospitalizations and the average of PM25 in New York. This is just visual, but in the project there are also more advanced analysis, as for example this one that shows via geostatistics that there is a correlation between the hospitalization of for asthma with the poverty rate in New York. As I was saying, there is a time manager that allows to navigate data in time. It's possible to also define which is the temporal resolution that one user wants to have. So if the data is vector data, it can be aggregated by, for example, daily basis, hourly basis, and so on. And a technical side on that, that is how it works. We use two approaches to visualize the temporal data. Basically, there is one logic layer in the table of content that can either be connected to one physical layer in the cartographic server, in our case, GeoServer. And so when you change the time and you navigate in time, the physical layer that is loaded in the WebGIS is the same, but a SQL temporal filter is applied, so you have basically the data that gets filtered. And that is the approach we used for vector data. Whereas for raster data, we use another approach. So we have one logical layer in the table of content that is mapped to n physical layer in GeoServer. So when you move the time, the physical the different layer is loaded in the WebGIS. The user doesn't notice anything. And that is the approach that we used for raster. So basically, each raster data, layer for raster corresponds to a measurement. So as you change the time, a different layer is loaded. Here you have some examples. You have examples for the raster data and the vector data. The WebGIS is backed by a configurator. The configurator is a web-based application, and that allows to configure almost every aspect of the WebGIS. So it's not needed to write anything, coding anything. And it is very useful because it allows to add new data or create a WebGIS for another city without having to do anything. So it's possible to configure a new WebGIS, add maps, add layer, modify the reference system, widgets, do permissions, and so on. One of the also important feature is that of the data loading, meaning that to load the data inside the WebGIS, there is a wizard and a workflow. So each operation is automatized. So if I have a shapefile, I can load the shapefile in the system. A new table is created automatically in PostGIS. It's published in the system. It's published on GeoServer, and it's validated. And I can publish and unpublish the data the way I want. So it is very useful because it simplifies data loading. Another part of the system is the dashboard working environment. That it is being developed by another partner that is Belit. This dashboard allows to query the data, analyze the data, display charts and diagram, and also it is useful for to manage the pilot cities, meaning that can be used to simplify the recruitment process to recruit the volunteers for testing the system. And it also have modules for verifying that all the components of Pulse are working. Here there are some screenshots of the dashboard. I would just like to point the attention on that part that shows the integration between the dashboard and the WebGIS. The dashboard is being developed by another company, and the WebGIS is another component, so those two components need to talk to each other. And the approach we followed for this integration was to have the WebGIS that is integrated in a HTML component, an iframe in this case, and this exposes JavaScript APIs, so the embedding page, the parent page, can embed the WebGIS and pilot the WebGIS as it wants. So turn on, off layer, add layer, change the visualization, and so on. And this is one part of the integration between the WebJS and other components. There are other ways the WebJS is used by the other parts. Some components, like the Pulsar app, use the data provided by the WebJS, accessing directly to the to GeoServer using OGC standard protocols. But there are also web services that were made especially for Pulse, for example, to collect the data, the positions of the user, to make the trajectory, the path of the user, and so on. Another interesting feature that was developed is that of the the application of a different style on the fly to the system, but with the let's say added fact that the parameter that codifies the style can be something that is not in the layer. I explain this better. In the WebJS, maybe there is a layer, like in that in this example, that represents, that represents the district code, the subdivisions of Barcelona. Then the dashboard, that is something else, may want to represent a generic parameter A. So if I want to style those district codes according to some rules on parameter A, I can express this condition in a proper format, in JSON format. Those rules applied on parameter A are converted to rules applied on district on the layer, and these are applied automatically on GeoServer. This is the sequence diagram that shows this. Then there are also other features of the WebJS. I will go very fast. For example, the possibility to load the data on the fly, like an external CSV or other data, and extend the attribute table of a layer with external values. Regarding the technologies that are used in the system, it's almost all open source. It's the, let's say, standard stack. You have OpenLayers, Java, Tomcat, GeoServer, and Postgres. While the models were developed using R, Python, and MATLAB, because the different partners had their different competencies on those languages. Regarding some relevant technical aspects. One of the problems is that maybe is common for a project dealing with different data, was the harmonization of the data, collecting the data. For example, in Italy, some data are incredibly hard to get, like the zip codes, problems with SRS, and so on. Another issue was the automatization of the data ingestion procedure to be able to load everything without having to manually add things to the database. The integration with the other components and the other languages. And for the database, we are actually using just plain SQL and Postgres and PostGIS. But we are considering to add the timescale extension to speed up some queries, some query that deals with time. And we also would like to introduce a NoSQL database to better manage some pre-processing of the data coming from the monitoring stations. The system is deployed on a governmental French platform for data science. That's it. Thank you.
Have any questions?
I have a quick question. You said about NoSQL. You could try Postgres supports JSON.
Yeah.
You could try maybe instead of going to another technology, you could try that.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a lot of experience with JSON with Postgres. We made some tests for other projects, and it seems that even if it has support for JSON, the syntax is sometimes not very easy, especially to retrieve the data. But I think that the problem here is that of performances. Like if we have almost one, more than one, yeah, like 100 monitoring stations that are acquiring data every 30 seconds, even if I wrote 1 minute, and the collected parameters are like 30 or more, because there are two channels, so the amount of data is very big. So now there is a pre-processing part. Basically, the data coming from those two channels are in some way merged together, and the data in that is used in Pulse is aggregated. But this part is quite big, so we don't know if that the database will be able to manage so many data. That's why we were thinking about using a NoSQL database for that.
Okay, other questions? Thinking about lunch, maybe?
Okay, thank you.